remind you of, but I hope that what you're struck with is the remarkable series of interventions in which God has intervened in the life of the kingdom of Israel in order to bring them back out of captivity. Time after time we've read of God intervening. You remember it all started with Jeremiah prophesying that if they carried on with their idol worship, they would be taken into captivity, and they were. And then there was a whole series of events when Cyrus, king of Persia, was moved by God. And then we find that after that, there was Haggai and Zechariah, and we can read their prophecies. They were moved by God to intervene. Then there was Cyrus's successor, Darius, king of Persia. Then there was Artaxerxes' successor to Cyrus and Darius. And so it goes on. Characters that we meet in secular history, we can read about them in secular history, and yet as we come to understand what was going on, we see the way in which God remarkably was intervening and steering the course of nations in order that he might achieve this goal of rescuing Israel out of captivity in Babylon and bringing them back to the promised land. And then in the book of Ezra, eventually we came to chapter 8 and we saw how Ezra the scribe was brought back. Came on into Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 1 we found how Nehemiah, that wizard organizer, was brought back. And last time we saw that Nehemiah, this great organizer, in 52 days managed to rebuild the whole walls around Jerusalem. And of course we saw last time that that faced him with a problem. The big city was enclosed, but there weren't enough people to populate it. There weren't enough people to run the city. And he testifies quite openly there in chapter 7, the way in which God prompted him to announce that all Israel should come together, because there were Israelites in the surrounding towns. The trouble was that they were mixed in with Samaritans, people who'd been over and over again trying to stop the rebuilding of the city. And so he didn't know who were people trying to infiltrate and to stop the work, and who were the proper Israelites. But providentially, just at that time, they found the list of the people who had come back out of Babylon those 100-odd years earlier. And so they were able to tick off the names. And so it might seem that Nehemiah's problem there of of chapter 7 and verse 4 was solved. He now could call on people from the surrounding cities that he knew he could trust. But then there was yet another intervention. And we read in chapter 8 and verse 1 the way in which all the people gathered themselves together according to Nehemiah's summoning. They came, but now they wanted to hear the word of God. This is really quite surprising. You notice there that it says, as one man. They wanted to hear the word of God. Hundreds, thousands of people suddenly wanted to hear the word of God. Obviously, God was moving their hearts. It was something of the sort of thing that you see in times of revival. You've all seen an army on parade, haven't you? Rows and rows of soldiers, perhaps several hundred. And from a distance, they all look exactly the same. And then a voice cries out, by the left, quick march. And all the left feet go forward. And then it says, right, and the right feet go forward. And that's not an army marching. That's hundreds of individuals who have decided, when I hear left, I will put my left foot forward. When I hear right, I'll put my right foot forward. Hundreds of individuals. And that's what we've got here in chapter 8 and verse 1. Thousands of people, Israel, joined together. And all of these individuals at the same time moved with a hunger to hear the word of God. We went on through chapter 8 last time, and we found that in verse 13 they gathered together a second time. They wanted to hear more of the word of God. And chapter 8 and verse 18, we found that they kept on doing it day after day. Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. This was a tremendous hunger they'd got to hear the word of God. And we come into our passage tonight, and what do we find in verse 3? They're doing it again. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law. God was doing something very particular in this nation at this time. He'd stirred up, individuals, thousands of them, simultaneously, a hunger to hear the word of God. Remember, they'd been in captivity. These things had been neglected. The temple had been ruined. And they wanted to hear the word of God. You remember in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And here is God giving them a hunger to hear the word of God. And what I want to do tonight as we come to this chapter 9 is to trace the impact of God's word as it's read to them, the impact upon the people. Nehemiah had been prompted by God to bring the people together to solve the problem of lack of people. And once that was solved, as far as he was concerned, the problem was over. But God had another plan. He wanted the people to hear more and more, to be bathed, as it were, in the word of God. And that's what has been happening. So I want to trace with you tonight the impact of this reading of the word of God. But before we begin to do that, I need to point out something to you. In verse 32 of our passage, second half of the verse, they are praying now, and they say, "Let not all the trouble seem little before thee." There were a people who still had troubles. Now you might have thought, well, they're out of captivity, they've left Babylon, they've got their city back. What's their problem? Well, their problem was, if you remember, when we were back in chapter 5, that there were taxes that had to be paid to Artaxerxes back in Persia. Yes, they were back in the promised land, but it had been conquered by the Persians. Well, the Persians had taken it off the Chaldeans, strictly, but nevertheless, it was now under the heel of Persia. And there were taxes to be paid. And you remember how in chapter 5 there was a great outcry amongst the people because they didn't have enough money to feed their families. Some of them had borrowed money and they couldn't afford to pay the interest to the moneylenders. Others had sold their children into servanthood. they were having difficult times. You remember Nehemiah himself. He was, because he'd been appointed by Artaxerxes to be governor of the city, he was due expenses, expense allowances, and a salary, like members of parliament today. But it said in chapter 5 that he didn't draw those expenses because he knew the cost would fall on his kinsmen, his fellow Jews. And so they're having to pay taxes. And if you look at verses 36 and 37 of our passage, you'll see something of this. "Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land